Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Most of the news from Iraq and Syria has been bad news in the last few years, with hundreds of thousands fleeing war and Islamist terror. But in northern Iraq, there's been a quiet good news story, with communities returning to their villages in the Nineveh Plains, places devastated by 3 years of ruthless occupation by ISIS. In the summer, we heard about olive tree ceremonies that took place in a number of Christian villages, a symbolic action to say, we're home and we intend to stay. But these people face a massive task to rebuild their lives and communities. A leader involved in the resettlement project said recently that Christianity will be reduced to a token presence in Iraq unless more families are given aid to return to their villages. On the line to tell us more, we have John Newton, press officer with Aid to the Church in Need. You're very welcome to the show, John.
A very good morning to you.
First of all, John, can you remind us who these communities are and how they survived 3 years in exile?
Well, across the Nineveh Plains, there were scattered towns and villages, Syriac Orthodox villages, Syriac Catholic villages, Chaldean villages, Yazidi villages. A lot of minority faiths had their own settlements. And these were completely wiped out when Daesh came back in 2014. And they've been sheltering in places like Erbil, the capital of the Kurdish region, and they've been depending basically on the church for everything, for food, for shelter, for medicine, for education. And they've been spending 3 years basically as refugees in their own country. But at the beginning of last year, things started to change. Things were settled down. Daesh had been driven out. And three of the churches got together, the Syriac Catholic, the Syriac Orthodox, and the Chaldeans, and in an ecumenical gesture started rebuilding nine of the towns and villages which had been destroyed in a massive push to try and get the Christians back on the Nineveh Plains.
Wow. How many families would you say have now returned to this area?
Well, actually, we've got the latest figures this weekend, and the data which was updated on the 25th of March, so as of this Saturday, the figures are that 8,213 families have now returned to the Nineveh Plains. Okay. To put it in perspective, that's just over 42% of the families that were displaced, which have been able to go back to their homes.
Wow, wow. And is that going to be enough to sort of sustain these communities?
Well, there are concerns that we still need more infrastructure, that in order, specifically for those who haven't gone back, the question is, will they be able to find jobs? Will they be able to rebuild their homes? And so there are concerns for those who are still displaced within the country. Mm. And indeed, as you alluded to earlier, Father Cajo has said we really need a massive push in terms of investment on a whole number of different levels, including investing in jobs in the region, so the rest of the Christians will be able to go back. But, you know, able to get 40% of the Christians back over, you know, the course of 15 months, that bodes well.
Yeah.
And we're hopeful that with the support of the international community, we will see over the next 18 months the rest of them returning soon. But yes, it's very true that the people like Father Cajo, who are very well placed, have said that we really need a big push now to encourage everyone to get back, because if we don't see everyone getting back, that 60% that still hasn't gone back to those villages, yeah, they may be tempted to go away. They may think, well, what's in it for us?
Yeah.
We're still refugees. We can see our neighbours going back. They've been able to go to our homes, to their homes, but our homes are still burnt out.
Yeah.
And they might start thinking about emigrating, as indeed others have, because of this great crisis.
Right. How much rebuilding is needed? I mean, how many of the, you know, what percentage of the homes are absolutely destroyed? And how much will it cost to sort of, you know, get this rebuilding going?
Well, the estimate that we had was in absolute millions. It was millions of dollars that will be required to do this. And we've always said that Aid to the Church Need cannot do this alone.
Right.
Fortunately, there has been support. For example, the Hungarian government has been very generous. I think it was 3 million euros they provided to help with the project, which has been amazingly useful. But to give some sense of the scale, when Aid to the Church in Need worked with the local churches at the end of 2016 to survey the number of homes that needed rebuilding, And this went all the way from, you know, completely demolished to torched, needed renovation work. We discovered that there were 12,217 homes that needed rebuilding.
Right, right. Yeah. Yes.
Our local church partners, with support from us and with support from others, such as, I say, the Hungarian government, have been able to rebuild 3,249 homes already. So that's just under a quarter of the homes that we want to rebuild have been rebuilt in the last 15 months.
I'm sure that that kind of momentum is helping build confidence for everybody and raising spirits. And you mentioned the Hungarian government have stepped in and helped. Are there others from the international community sort of stepping in and helping?
Unfortunately, no. America has been in conversation, USAID have been in conversation with the Nineveh Reconstruction Committee, and we are praying and hoping that something will come out of that. We understand that very positive noises are being made by the American government, but we haven't seen exactly what or when that's going to emerge. But really, you know, the governments which are helping are far and few. The Polish government also needs to be mentioned because they did a marvellous job of providing help for the displaced families, for the refugees during the crisis period. But by and large, the international community hasn't provided aid, and the local churches have very much been relying on Christian organisations such as ourselves to back the work that they're doing.
Yeah. John, tell us about the communities that are back there. You know, have they been able to establish anything close to sort of normal life? I mean, I suppose a lot of them are just involved in construction work, but what's it like? How are they doing?
Surprisingly, yes, people have gone back. They have reopened their shops. They have reopened their business. And in places like Karakwash, which when it fell back in 2014 was an absolute disaster because it was the last Christian majority town in the whole of Iraq. In parts of Karakwash, life is almost back to normal. Shops are opening, schools are running as normal, and something approaching normality is back on the ground there. So there is real hope in places like that. Of course, there's other parts of the city that haven't been reconstructed and where things aren't quite so good. But the hope is that if the aid does come, and God willing it will come, and we are able to rebuild and we are able to get everyone back, that 3 years' time people will be looking back and this will just be a bad dream, the time of Exodus and so forth. And 2017, 2018 will be the time that really made a difference to their lives.
Yeah. John, people are listening right now. How can people help, if they wanted to make a contribution towards the resettling of these families there in northern Iraq? What could they do?
If they wanted to contact Aid to the Church in Need and specifically say that the donation is to go to Iraq for the displaced families, then that money will be passed on to our partners in the Nineveh Reconstruction Committee, and it will help to rehouse and rehome these people that have been homeless for 3 years now.
Yeah, yeah. John Newton, press officer with Aid to the Church in Need, thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.